Welcome to episode 80, not 90, 80 of Crippled System. My name is Nathan, radio fan on various forums, and I play Convergence of Cirrus. I don't know why that was funny, but well done. Things are going too well.
I am Troll Jeff, and I play Troll Bloods.
That's so convenient.
I know.
I know we say that every time.
I was about to say, my favorite thing is making
my name is Troll Jeff because I live under a bridge.
Oh.
Can it both be true?
Both could be true.
That's true.
You live under a bridge, you play Troll Bloods, you're an asshole on the internet.
Yeah.
Everything.
All of the above.
I get surprisingly good Wi-Fi beneath my bridge.
You live under... Is that a euphemism?
In your mom's basement, too?
Yes.
On the weekends?
Yeah.
On the weekends?
Well, he lives during under the bridge during the week.
Okay.
My parents have split custody, and one of my parents was a bridge, and the other one was a...
There you go.
You guys seen the suicidal troll in Oblivion? I know like Skyrim is the current one, but in Oblivion, there's a suicidal troll.
It's
post-suicide. He's been successful. Like, there's a bridge in Oblivion. If you go under it, there's just a dead troll floating in the water, and if you loot his body, he has a suicide note where he's like, me no scary, people no pay bridge tolls, me end life now. And
wow. Yeah. That's kind of fantastic, actually.
It is.
I am Jeremy, Value1418 on the forums, and I play Legion, and I used to play Rhett, but screw that noise, because I can't win with him. Spoiler alert for when we talk about the event yesterday.
So you returned to Rhett in glorious fashion.
Not really. So I figured out, I guess I can talk about it now. So here's my problem that I discovered with Rhett yesterday.
Interrupt one real quick thing before you tell your story? I want to say that this is the sequence of events as I see them. Assyria's amazing 3 episodes later. Assyria's no good in theme. I'm going to try her out of theme next episode. I'm quitting, Rhett.
So what I realized was, because I've played a lot of games with Assyria since I came back to Rhett, because I was like, Assyria's awesome. The problem with Assyria is the way Assyria should play is she should be playing on the back end of the table. She should have a few guys. She should have her army 16 inches in front of her, and those guys should be 12 inches from the enemy army, killing everything 12 inches away from them, and then reforming backwards if they have reform. And that's how she should play, and she'll win a lot of games. And that play style makes me want to shoot myself. And so I keep trying to like be aggressive and move up and like the one game I won involved Assyria dominating the zone in destruction. That should never, ever, ever happen.
Yeah,
ever.
Sexy.
Ever. So
apparently it should, because you won.
Anyway, so I may have to go back to Legion because I think it fits my playstyle better.
Yeah, good news. I got a bunch of Legion for sale.
I have all my Legion already. It's all painted. Like, right. I have like nicely painted Legion.
Actually, check your bag again.
I used to have nicely painted Legion. Okay, fair enough.
And he's got some nicely painted Legion
for sale.
For sale for you.
That's convenient.
Yeah. My name is Andy. I'm Major Tusk, and I play mercenaries in... Long time ago, Troll Bloods.
This is Brian. I play Scorn, and I ate too much cheese this weekend.
No such thing as too much cheese.
I was going to say, I don't understand.
My butt.
I'd rather not.
Brian,
all right. That was exciting. So, do we want to talk about the event real quick, I guess?
Well, are there announcements and stuff?
Yeah.
That's the normal pattern.
There's lots of stuff going on.
You can check the mail. There is a message in there.
Oh, is there? Did we get the email working again?
Yeah, it's been working.
I haven't seen mail coming into it.
You haven't been checking it.
I have.
When it comes, there has been mail.
Gen Con, 2 weeks. You should go.
You should go.
Play some board games.
If you're not going, go anyway.
Hey, you play some War Machine. It's good. It's fun, too.
At least play one game of War Machine or bring your stuff for Iron Arena.
September 6th is the War Machine Weekend qualifier event in Chicago. You should go. Because
no, don't. Oh,
wait. Yeah,
or wait. Go, but play badly. I want a lot of people, but I want to win.
Yeah. So don't do better than Nathan if you go, please. But I'm sad that the turkey place next to the game store closed.
I am very sad about that.
I mean, they just sold turkey, but
it
then
was,
they also
it
like
it was called Just Turkey. Of course, they sold turkey.
They just sold, but they put too much cool things in their shop. They had all these like super huge TVs, like a bar, and all this stuff. And they should have just like kept it to the turkey.
We had a store that literally only sold turkey closed. I'm shocked.
It was delicious. They should not have.
But
closed.
It was good turkey.
Well, it's like there's a place on Odana years ago called Simply Soup, and it literally all you could get there was soup, and there was delicious soup. Then they closed.
Can you check the Facebook messages, Nathan?
I can't.
I have a conversation that you had with somebody that was in there.
There were a couple Facebook messages.
So the email we have, that's the announcement, is Feast of Blades, which is coming up October 10th through 12th in Denver, Colorado. We probably won't be there. because it's a long ways away, but I love Colorado. I wish I could go. It's at the Denver Hyatt. It's a War Machine Weekend qualifier. All of a sudden, I'm going to Denver. Running Divide and Conquer, two lists, 50-point, and a 50-point hardcore, and a Who's the Boss, and a team event, three-man team event, and a Commander's Crucible. Wow, they have just tons of events. And then Sunday's the three-list Masters with two-list 35-point flanks for the memories for those of you that don't want to play in Masters. So everything can be found at feastofblades.com. And they may be doing a schedule change post-Gen Con to add an Iron Gauntlet qualifier. I guess they're probably talking to PP about that. So sounds like an amazing event if you already live in or near Colorado. And those of us that don't live in or near Colorado, it might still be worth the trip. So that's from Sam Hick.
As a side note, Jordan Knack won't be there.
So
the reason it doesn't he's going to be in Detroit that day. I just happen to know he won't. Because, you know, he goes and wins all these.
How do you know his schedule?
I track his schedule.
That's creepy.
I need to know where he's at on multiple levels. I need to know what other events I can go to have a chance to win again.
He's already qualified. He can't keep you from qualifying.
He gets more points.
He gets more, but he can't keep you from qualifying.
Yes, he can. If he beats you in round one, he sure can.
Well, yeah that's
the thing.
That's true.
Sure, if he beats you in the finals, you still qualify. That doesn't help the people the first four rounds.
No, yeah. It does not.
And he's not the only one. I'm not trying to call him. I just happen to know 100% that he won't be
and
there.
And I will say, he's been on a tear this year.
Yeah, and he should be. He's
on fire.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to. I know one of his goals is to become the WBC.
Must be pure luck, because he is incompetent.
I have not noticed that in
our
games.
He's a good player, and he deserves credit. And I'm just saying, yeah. he won't be there, so other people have a chance, is all I'm saying. There's an opportunity for someone else to win an event. It's really nice.
I can make so many jokes right now, but I won't. So you had a Facebook
thing? No, this is not the podcast to hold things back.
I was going to make a mean comment
we should hold something
about
back.
Metas and or players, and I will keep that to myself.
Yeah. All the people at the table, you're one of the few who would probably make that statement.
Yeah. What I was going to say is that...
But I encourage you not to.
I'm not going to.
Because I'm a good person.
Do you have a thing, Nate?
I do have a thing. Meg Maples, former official studio painter for Privateer Press, she's someone who knows her shit definitely, is talking about she's going to have some two-day painting classes. She's apparently moving abroad. She's leaving America. I don't know if she's fleeing from murdered somebody or something, but she said this is her last five before she leaves the country, and she wanted us to mention those. So I'm just going to throw these out here. They're all two-day events, 16 hours over the course of the 2 days. The tuition is $205 per person, but you can send in $50 deposits to hold the seats. And you can, you know, I don't have the info about where to send it.
For an entire weekend of learning how to paint from someone, that's pretty good. Because, I mean, it's like, here's $200, here's an hour of my time. That'd be annoying, but like a weekend of time.
Yeah, and per hour, it's pretty cheap. And she is not bad. This isn't like her, I don't mean not bad. Oh, she's not bad. I mean, she is, holy crap, she is good. Like,
she's an amazing painter.
The Gorman to Seawolf that she made that went unclaimed, so she ended up getting Privateer Press's blessing to eBay it. That was one of the most beautiful models I have ever seen in my life.
I had a friend ask me, like, what she was thinking about getting into, like, painting War Machine models. She's like, well, so, like, you've got these, like, stock paintings, but, like, what kind of conversions do people do? I was like, I have a picture for you. Go to eBay.
Yeah. Oh, and it was great because she had the huge diorama that he was on, but his base was removable from the diorama, so he was still perfectly playable.
And his base was amazing on or off the diorama.
It was very, very well done. So it's definitely money well spent if you can spend it. So
she's also an incredibly nice person.
She's a great person.
Well,
great,
I'm not going to really agree with that. She's friendly enough. Let's not say great.
Well, she's obviously a listener because she said this. Also, she's a cute girl. So I'm going to say you're amazing, Meg.
Call me.
But I'm not married yet. As
somebody who's when she was painting some of her models for like the Gen Con competition last year, I was able to just sit there and paint with her for the entire time.
And through osmosis, you learned some stuff.
I learned to paint in a speedy manner.
You painted?
I painted some of my stuff at Gen Con.
So basically on these guys, day one is going to cover miniature cleaning and prep, proper priming techniques, two-brush blending, painting faces and eyes, which I know eyes are disastrous for a lot of people, and color theory. Day two is going to be hair and fur, skin tones, OSL,
object source light.
I knew those, the lighting, but not the OS. So, you know, glowy things, like somebody's holding a lantern and it looks like the lantern's actually glowing. Freehand, basic materials, and true metallic paints. And the dates, September 27th and 28th in Kansas City, Kansas. And then, confusingly enough, the next week, October 4th through 5th, she's in Kansas City, Missouri. So she's in Kansas City 2 weeks in a row, but different Kansas cities.
One of those events caused I think had something going on, and her being there caused other problems. It wasn't her fault, because she scheduled something, but it like, caused
Well, you're not chaos. Allowed within 100 yards of her.
Yeah, well, that's a true thing.
I will say, and this is something Nathan should do, too, I'm going to post the information about the Feast of Blades in the forum thread.
Yeah.
Just so that people can reference it rather than going back and be like, where'd they say that again?
I'll post it. Well, and I'm going to mention she does have a link to that.
You can post the timestamps too, right?
No. I used to do that. For the record, those of you that are our listeners, I salute you because I used to listen to our podcast every week to do the timestamps. And wow, you people, I am impressed with your pain threshold.
Until the topic has obviously changed.
Even that.
And then you do higher, lower. You're like, oh, wait, they're talking about something else now. Go back 2 minutes and just price is right.
Even that. Our listeners have an incredibly high pain threshold.
October 18th through 19th in Glenbury, Maryland. November 1st and 2nd in Marietta, Georgia. And then lastly, November 15th and 16th in Chicago, Illinois. As Andy said, I'll post this in the forum. And then all of this as well, if you go to www.facebook.com/arcanepaintworks/events, or just look for Arcane Paintworks on Facebook. I'm sure you'll find it that way because that's her official painting company name.
Very cool.
Yep.
Yay, I did something constructive.
We missed the Brian's announcement song. I'm a little sad.
No. I broke.
He's cheese bummed.
He does look a little cheese bummed.
That's a pun because bum is also slang for a butt.
Yeah, oh!
Yeah.
All right. Do we want to talk about the event?
You do.
Not really.
Oh, because you already did, kind of.
We ran the I ran the Iron Gauntlet round event, so people brought, you know, three lists written down. Everyone brought, like, normal lists. No one cheesed it out. And then the three rounds, they picked their caster and picked, you know, I will say it was 20 minutes to write up a list, and I think that was done. 80% of people got their 75-point list figured out within 10 minutes. A couple people, when it was a really crazy matchup, took maybe closer to 15, but no one had any problem getting their list figured out in time.
I will say that I think that's something that's significantly advantaged if you have an app like War Room. I think that I watched my opponent try to do it on paper, and he thought he knew what he was playing, and he rewrote his list four times, like just scratching things out and be like, wait, no, those aren't the right points. And like, I was just in War Room and I was like, maybe no, yes, done. And I was done. And like, then 12 minutes later,
I expect serious players are going to have three or four concept lists in their head versus certain factions. And then they'll tweak it they'll tweak like a few models based on the specific matchup. But I'm sure a lot of people are not going to need the time because they have thought about it a lot.
One of my opponents, literally, he had his 50-point list written down, and then he had a line under him, and underneath the line it said, for 75, add these things.
Yeah,
like, he wasn't doing it on the fly at all. It was the same guy.
Okay.
He wasn't doing it on the fly at all, which, you know, is probably the wrong way to do it if you were trying to be super competitive about it, but I think, like Brian's saying, people are going to have skeletons that they already have worked out, and that way they don't have to build a fresh list from scratch. Yeah, they're just going to be
my
adjusting.
Idea of what I'm going to do with my 75 points with Gorshade or something like that. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Also, side note along the lines, talk about War Room. Man, playing with cards. How do people play with cards?
I miss War Room already. I prefer to play with cards.
I prefer cards as well.
When I have like four units of the same thing, it's really hard to use War Room.
Well, yeah, when you're doing like Fistaholic or whatever, but I never have more than two units of the same multi-wound infantry, so I'm okay with it. I don't spam. I'm a better player than that, Brian.
Fair enough.
Well, even with when I was doing my Shredder spam, I wouldn't use cards for that. I would actually have tokens for all the
models. See, the token shits is very, very different than Worm or cards, and is amazing.
Yeah.
For a small wound model like that. Yeah. I know Muse is coming out with the wound trackers that I'm super excited to pick up for some of that stuff.
Just shuffling my cards around looking for the guy, and then like I'd write his damage down and set it down, and then he'd get hit again the next turn. I'm like, where the fuck did I put that card?
In-depth system how to manage cards. I'll train you someday on how to manage cards.
Yeah, I've seen your system of managing cards.
He has a system, all right.
Yeah, it was a Lovecraftian horror.
Hey, if it's in your head, it's fine. You know?
It will never leave my head.
Don't worry, it was Five Spirit. He's still up.
Knack was doing that. He was like, yeah, I track damage in my head all the time. I'm like, oh my god, it's Marshall Reborn!
I guess and it still works for War Room too. The problem you have with people doing any kind of damage tracking and not having the other person watch it, you can mess up. Like, I guess there was somebody yesterday who had like 9 health left on their jack, and so they went to go kill him, with Backlash and
he had marked the damage on the wrong jack. He was using cards and he had marked the wrong card.
But so they attacked one jack and he marked a bunch of damage on the wrong jack, and then somebody's like, "Oh, so how's this jack?" And they're like, "Oh, he's fine and he's not damaged." So they go to attack him to backlash him to death, and he's like, "Oh, you killed him in the first attack because he totally was damaged. I had the wrong card."
Yeah, well, what it was, he did the first attack, he took the backlash damage, and he goes, "Oh, this damage was supposed to be here. Let me add it all on. Oh, he has two boxes left," or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was like, "Oh, well, I guess I'll do a second
judge,
damage."
What do you do there? I mean, is the guy just...
I don't know.
What's the... I mean, if someone freaks out,
his opponent freaked out, too. His opponent was really upset.
But, I mean, you can be...
Because he only needed, like, three attacks to
get the
backlash.
He needed three hits
kill.
On Butcher, and he could only do two, because the jack had two
it
boxes
happened,
left.
No, I didn't hear about it until it was done, resolved, the players calmed down, they finished the game, they were happy, and you know, whatever. But, I mean, I just don't know, like, if someone... That seems messy. I don't think there's an official. I mean,
past the end of turn, can't be rewound.
Yeah, I mean,
the other jack magically has 30 damage on it. And,
I suppose, No, I mean, so it's obviously the because the jack was damaged earlier. So if they catch it mid turn,
what he did was erased it off the jack. He marked it on and put it on that one. But by the rules, if a judge came over,
you would just
be like, that jack's damaged.
Same turn damage, incorrectly marked damage can be fixed same turn.
Assuming the other jack was unwounded and all that kind of stuff.
But he then directed all of his attacks towards the unwounded jack.
I'm aware of that. It sucks.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. I mean, I've had that happen in one or two games over the course of the years. It's just a thing that happens.
Probably move the damage over to the correct place, give him a hell of a warning, and he needs to play tight the rest of the event.
And I would even let your opponent, if they want to get the focus back for the spell. I mean, that's obviously a player decision. That's not a...
Well, it was... More had happened, though. I mean, he'd done the spell. He'd done multiple activations of things.
Right, yeah.
I think if it was me, if I was the Kator player, I probably would have given the game at that point. I'd be like, dude... we messed up. You directed everything there on the knowledge was there. But that would be a decision me and my opponent would make.
And it was a goofy event. And like the guy that
ended up winning
got
anyway.
Screwed wound he, up he winning did, anyway. Yeah. And they had driven together, so they knew each other. But he literally walked while I was watching it happen because my game was over. And he walked away from the table, which was the right decision. And then came back still a little bit upset. And then was like, oh, I guess my turn. He did some more things, and then his turn ended. And when his turn ended, his opponent was like, "Oh, okay, well, you're not in the zone, so I score the zone." And he's like, "Nope, you're giving me this." And moved a bunch of models into the zone, and then passed the clock back, which is not legal, but I think made them both feel better.
Well, yeah, because he's obviously. I mean, you're out because at that point things have happened. So yeah, it's all. It really comes down to players coming to a decision of how to make.
I hope
better.
That was a direct quote.
No, he literally said, "You're giving me this." Picked up two fistfuls of infantry and then moved them all forward about 3 inches. Yeah. And his exact quote was, "You're giving me this."
That's how you deal with things without a judge.
It seems fair.
Anything the players resolve is okay.
And then I had to walk away because I was going to start laughing.
Do you guys have any highlights from the day? Any like comments on the?
I
have no super highlighty. 75 points is horrific.
75 points in an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, like
is
it's
horrific.
Brutal.
Yeah, death clock. You only get 10 more minutes from 60 minutes for 25 more points.
So spoiler alert: what you do is you burn about 30 to 40 minutes of your hour and 10, and then you start a 50-point game with your models advanced deployed.
Yeah, it's rough.
Okay, now play a 50-point game in 30 minutes, death clock. Go.
It's tight.
And my only highlight, I know you guys have all heard this before, but I think it's funny, is I feeded with Assyria, catching 75 points of my army under her feet with halberdiers and strike force and battle mages and infiltrators, all of which got attacks and stuff, and I killed 0 models. So that was the highlight of my day, was that turn.
I think you're using the word highlight wrong.
It is a highlight.
Yeah. It's nailed to his wall and circled in red marker, and it's got like all the strings and stuff because he's obsessed with it. That's highlighted.
It was an experience.
Little circles.
Pepe Silva. It's just Pepe Silva everywhere.
I was thinking Dan Marino.
This whole feet
Laces out, Dan.
This whole feed is a ghost town.
But yes. Yeah, so
how did you manage that?
So I put 6 halberdiers with their mini feet, with my feet, into a conquest and did minimal damage. 3 more of them under the feet, under the mini feet, into the battle engine for Kador, did 7 damage between them. Shot an entire unit of strike force into the Colossal, minus 4 of them. So I had lost none. So 7 shots into the conquest. Still didn't kill it.
That's still minus 10, though, 3 dice.
Four dice drop the low.
Oh.
Then I put Discordia's boosted spray at dice minus six into it, which did zero damage, by the way, on four dice drop the low. Like, and left it with cortex and movement and I think an arm. Like, I was just like, and then I put four shots from Strike Force and two entire units of unwounded battle mages into a unit of the Kador Light Cav, the magic guys,
yeah,
and killed zero of them. I think I did one box of damage to one of them.
To be fair, those are pretty high armor guys.
Uh-huh. Yep.
The armor 15, yep. I think.
Dice off four on the... dice off five on the battle mages. Dice off five on the Strike Force. With my feet. Dropping my low dice.
You should just play Bronn.
So that was a game.
Ron's good because he can cast chain blast.
Chain blast at Eris.
To be fair, you use a lot of your time at least.
I did. Yes, on the bright side, I did use quite a bit of my time.
Was it weeping? Hold on, I'm going to go into a fetal position over here.
Like, the turn ended, and I'm looking at the board, and I'm just like.
The correct thing to do was to keep it on your clock. Stand on your chair, drop trow, and just meat spin for your remaining 45 minutes of time, just directly in Jordan's face. Just like, this is how I'm using my clock, fucker!
I think if I'd done that, I would have stood in my chair and just peed on the board. Fuck Styria.
You know what? I don't think that's against the judge document.
It's against the law.
Well, the problem is... it against privateers?
There's too many children in the room.
There were some children in the room.
Well, we got to Gatchamaki, we were bringing their kids, which is cool, yeah. And I told the parents, I'm trying to swear less. Well, I am making an effort to use less F-bombs for your children. I'm failing miserably, so I'm apologizing every time I say fuck.
Well, there was the 5 minutes of nothing but Gatorman posse jokes, which I'll let our listeners figure out for themselves where those went. And then after 5 minutes of it, I was like, oh my gosh, they're children. I looked around, they were all at lunch, and I was like,
Gatorman posse jokes?
Yeah.
Do tell.
No, it's fine.
I must have been at Subway during that time.
I think you might have been. I don't know, but yeah. It was like me and Rick and
Rick had to literally build his list for the second round.
Yeah, because he didn't legally have model to get it. 75 points.
He had to go buy a kid. From he had
to buy Maylock.
Not Maylock. No, Barnabas.
Barnabas. Sorry, unlimited Gatorman and borrow up a unit of posse.
Yeah, posse.
Yep.
Oh.
That sounds like passé.
Yeah, just like
Nock did. I think Nock did reach 100. Did he hit 100 miles in that one?
No, he had like 95.
Yeah, close.
It was close.
Well, except he hadn't brought like 30 of them. Yeah. He's lucky there was another Crix player there because he had to borrow like 30 Mechanithralls and his caster and everything.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. When he just was missing a bunch of stuff. Jordan, our Jordan Boishu, our local Jordan, was missing the card for Vlad II, who he played all day. And so he had just written down Vlad 2 stats on a piece. No, Vlad 2. He'd written down... Well, I guess he played Butcher 2 in this last game, but I think he played Vlad 2 twice. And he'd written down Vlad's stats, and he was just like, don't worry, I have the spell card memorized, and I know all the special abilities.
Sure,
he'd just written down his stat line.
Okay, Marshall. Jesus, how many times are we going to get a Marshall reference?
God,
damn podcast. Jeez.
Don't be a Marshall.
Yeah, seriously.
There's a public safety PSA notice.
Marshall, hey,
do we have any video of him?
Why would we have video of him? We have video of his arms.
I have a battle report, yeah.
If we can just get a video or just a picture of him.
We got pictures of Marshall.
Yeah, pictures.
He was very cute. He was very happy there were pictures. We took a lot of pictures of him.
That's true.
Okay. He was in the bathroom, so he wasn't very happy at the time. We got pictures of him.
So we could build a did you know or, you know, a PSA with Marshall.
And now you know. Star. So anyway,
my day was mostly uneventful.
Yeah, I mean, I had that one fun thing. But.
One opponent mispositioned because he was worried I was going to ranged assassinate Kane with Lucant. And after I melee assassinated Kane with Lucant, I told him that he shouldn't be worried about the ranged assassination
ever
with Lucant.
Isn't he like rat 3?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just punched Kane across a wall and vaporized
him. To be fair, I still have that problem when I sit down across from Convergence because, like,
Lots of guns.
Yeah, like, there's lots of guns, and you get touched in a bad place by, like, Cintharion or Iron Mother a couple of times, and it's just in your mind that, man, these jacks are just terrifying with their guns. And then you play against Lucant, and you're like, why isn't he using his guns? I'm confused.
Yeah, like, the fuser's in there almost as a joke. I'm like, I'll get Hunter's Mark with my Rat 3.
Yep.
I mean, it's great Rat if you have a Colossal in a re-roll. Or something. Re-roll. Yeah, lucky, baby. But, no. That's my story.
But yeah, it was an interesting day. Like Nate said, it was more exhausting than I thought it would be playing. Even just one 75-point game in an hour and 10 minutes was super exhausting.
The thing is, you know, it's only 20 minutes longer than...
It's like playing hardcore for an hour and 10 minutes.
Like, the tournament shouldn't be that much longer because it's only 20 minutes more per round, which I mean...
40, you know, if you count the list construction.
Oh, that is true. That's true. But, man alive, it'd hurt your soul to play those games.
Yeah.
Would you guys do it again?
And more games I get went to time probably as well, just because there's so much shit to get out of the way to get to scenario.
We did it weird because, I mean, obviously in a real Iron Gauntlet format, you're not going to have... Only four players are going that way.
Yeah. Right.
But. I don't know if I do it again. I'll be honest. I was really excited about the change in the Iron Gauntlet format this year versus last year. I thought it made it more accessible to a player like me who doesn't own, like, multiple... I own one painted faction, and even if both of the factions I own were painted, I don't know that Legion and Rhett is going to, like, take that format by storm.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be a lot more accessible. I'm not sure it is.
Well, we played it as a whole tournament thing, which it's probably
even just for two rounds.
I think I still like it. I think it's way better than the old format.
I agree.
And I think it's interesting to have the list building be part of it. And honestly, people at this event, people weren't putting as much thought and effort into list building, I think, as you'll see at the higher end ones. People weren't like really, really getting down to the nitty gritty and like looking at all the possible models on their opponent's list and really thinking about how to answer all that rock, scissors, paper. It was mostly like, oh, you're playing this guy, okay, oh, whatever, and just making a decent 75-point list. But I think it could be really, really interesting, and I definitely like it better than the old version.
Yes, I would agree. I don't know. Somebody made the comment yesterday, and I think that they're right, that Iron Gauntlet struggles from exactly one problem, and that is that Masters existed before they did. Because I think that had Masters not existed, had War Machine Weekend not existed prior to them, obviously that's the format they would have gone with, in my opinion. But it was taken, and they want to have Iron Gauntlet stand on its own merits as its own thing, as a different thing, and I think they're having trouble finding the perfect niche. And I think it's much better this year. I think next year it'll probably change a little bit and swing back to be even better. But I think that's going to take them a few iterations to get really what they're looking for.
I really like Masters when it's like, or I like if it's three lists, four rounds.
Yep.
What I hate is when they're like three lists, three rounds. Then I actually like Iron Gauntlet much more than three lists.
But that's not what most Masters is.
Well, it's what Gen Con and Adepticon is. That's two of the big ones.
If the number of lists you have and the number of rounds you play are the same and it's divide and conquer, it's terrible.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. It's my least favorite thing that exists.
Yeah, because you are always locked in round three, and being locked in is the whole reason we take
it. It adds too much luck to a skill-based game.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And if I'm going to play a luck game, that's not going to be when I travel to a tournament for and pay money for and spend time on. I mean, I'm going to, you know, goof around and play.
Yeah. It's
and especially if it's supposed to be the highlight of like the peak of skill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to have the luck screw you in like a random event or something, even if you travel there, but it's like, this is supposed to be where the best of the best prove they're the best.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh, fuck you. You were list locked. You lose.
Yeah. Oh, you had Durgan. I got locked. You got lucked in the Durgan. I got locked in the Kruger too.
I win.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true.
All the time.
Bad players you can beat.
Okay. I will always go back to the story of Keith beating what Haley won with Lich.
Spell
assassinating Haley won with Lich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, you can win any matchup in this game.
Yeah, I know.
If your opponent's a big enough retard and or you just get lucky enough.
Or they just they make just a big mistake at the wrong. I mean, it does happen. That's part of the game. People, oh yeah, I can actually stop spells from killing me.
That doesn't mean you're not 80% advantage.
No, I know.
So. And there's Lich. Especially with the meta going so skew. I think even a couple years ago, the three list thing might not have been as noticeable.
It would have. It's always been.
Yeah, but
it's always been.
The meta's been super skew lately.
So it's even worse. But it was definitely noticeable.
There's always been skew lists, but ever since Colossals came out, skew lists have been just a thing.
Yeah.
And it gets getting more and more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Colossals empower a certain kind of skew that requires an answer, which then. You kind of skew to answer that. It destabilized things. Maybe not in a bad way. I'm not saying it's in a bad way necessarily, but it did.
But it's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah. I can definitely see that.
And FA2 Colossals. And we've talked about this before, but like if Colossals were FA1, it'd be a whole different ballgame.
Yup.
But they're not, so.
God, FA2 Colossals. I'm sorry. It just makes me sad.
Yeah.
Makes me a little sadder than I want it to be. Oh, well. Yeah. That's life.
Yeah.
I do wish they were FA1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. True story. Oh, well. Life goes on.
Anyhow. Life moves on.
Let's be happy.
So what's the next topic? Woohoo! That was it. That was an event.
Do we want to talk about something Jeff will talk?
Yeah, let's do something Jeff will talk.
What do you mean? Jeff, I went to an event yesterday. I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, let's talk about that.
An event. No, yeah. That's being saved to the end. No, we're just going to do that now.
We could talk about it now, but just to let everyone know, if you haven't seen it, that there are probably going to be spoilers up ahead.
And also, you haven't seen it. You've made mistakes.
Yeah, you've made a bad decision in your life.
I do have no pity for anyone who hasn't seen Guardians of the Galaxy by this Monday.
Unless you're like in a jail cell being trapped by a Kaiden, which, by the way, they're making this as torture, which I understand. Yeah. Like random people being forced to listen to
Keeping
this.
People in jail when they could be seeing Guardians of the Galaxy might be considered cruel and unusual punishment. It might be unconstitutional to not let them out to watch this
At
movie.
At least some of them. Depends on the crime.
Yeah, you know.
So I guess you'll skip ahead to enter number here if you do not want any more spoilers. So.
I don't even know they're going to spoil anything that's going to ruin the movie.
Well, yeah, we're not going to spoil
I'm spoiling
there's not
everything.
There's a huge amount to spoil with that movie other than that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's funny.
Yes.
It's clever. Mm-hmm. It's action-packed.
Devil Squid on his Facebook posted a great analogy. I don't know how many of you are friends with Devil Squid on Facebook. But
he will
great...
not friend me, I don't think. Or there's someone else that
There
wants.
Might be a reason for that.
What he said is that Avengers is the role-playing group that you wish you had. Guardians of the Galaxy is the role-playing group that you actually end up with.
That's awesome.
Like, the group you actually have in D&D, we're like, you're all competent, but you're, like, morons, and you can't get anything right, and you just say stupid things, but you still beat the bad guy. Like, that's what it really was. And that, like, that's the perfect analogy.
That's a really great analogy.
Good job, Devil Squid. I wish you were my friend.
I especially wish you were my friend, because apparently you have good taste in not being friends with Brian, so.
Yeah, but so I had a blast. I went into that movie hearing like, oh, it's okay, it's pretty, it's, you know, it's a good movie. And then I sat there and like I left feeling like, I think I might turn around and go right back in.
I toyed with the idea,
just duck down behind the chair and stay in there.
Well, or don't tell somebody waiting in line. Like, the movie's terrible. Just give me your ticket stub. I'll take care of it for you.
Just go get a refill and then just walk right back in. Yeah. You know,
it
no one noticed.
Starts off pretty good, pretty comics beginning too. It's very hot, very
singing into a rat's face. Yes. It starts off horribly depressing.
Horrible.
Yeah. Wow. It's not quite like Up. But it's along really those lines.
Close.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah. I forgot about the first 5 minutes because they're traumatic.
For the overall relevance, you could probably just cut that first half out when I lighthearted, happy start.
I saw an article about whether it's safe for kids and whatnot. And like, they say shit a few half dozen times. Yeah. And, they got my dick message and things like that. But
that needs to be on my voicemail. Like, they got my voicemail, you got my dick message.
But,
he was so happy.
Almost as happy.
The big thing they said is that if you have kids, and I'll kind of agree with this, like, if you don't mind your kids hearing somebody say shit 4 or 5 times and bitch once and then some faction violence, just go in 5 minutes late is one thing they said, because the first 5 minutes is a little heavy.
Yeah,
but that's just how it is.
Yeah. One interesting thing I learned about the film too is that John C. Reilly's character, the character that he plays in there, he is actually the proponent to the character of Nova from the Marvel comics. He's the one who dies and gives the human character his powers.
Huh. Well, then we might see John C. Reilly die in a Nova film some year.
Yeah. Which is kind of cool. I was just like, hey, neat.
So, but, favorite moment, Jeff?
Oh, geez. I have to pick one?
Well,
bring me his leg.
I guess not. But.
Yeah. We totally need that guy's eye. No, seriously. We totally need that guy's eye.
I'm going back to nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too fast. I would catch it.
I still like the when he finally gets called Star-Lord.
Finally!
Yeah, it's...
any dialogue between the groups were great. Like, the big dramatic scene where they're, like, deciding to go for whatever, and...
Just I have a plan. About,
I have a plan. Well, 12% of a plan. I'm Groot. What do you mean that's better than 11? Or, they do this whole speech where he talks about something, and then he mentions it, and Drax is like, well, when did we decide? When did we say that? It's like, we decided that like 10 seconds ago. He's like, I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking about something. I like Drax. He reminded me a lot of Teal'c, if any of you out there are Stargate SG-1 fans, because he's the big bruisey guy, but he's very, indeed, yes, I understand.
Very
well
spoken, very literal.
Yeah.
He's very Teal'c. I never thought of that.
If I had to complain about it, just for the fun of it. I didn't like the whistle weapon was neat, but almost too powerful.
Oh, you think?
Well, but that's, well, that's it was how cool. It goes in comic books,
well,
though.
I'm sorry. If you have 50 guys surrounding one dude and he pulls out this whistle weapon and suddenly he whistles, he's killing like 20 guys. The other 30 should probably start firing their guns.
My issue with it wasn't that the whistle weapon killed 30 guys. Yeah. It's that it did it over the course of 10 seconds instead of one. Because if he just whistled and it went and killed all 30 of them, then that complaint isn't there. But once like the first 20 die, the last 10, you're right, should have just shot him in the face.
Yeah.
But like they did a good job with that because he like unsheathes the weapon and threatens to use it like 10 times in the course of the movie, and you're like, this weapon better be good, and then it murders everyone. You're like, okay.
That's why they're all scared.
That's a minor complaint.
Are you sure that that scene wasn't done in like slow motion?
I don't know.
I think it was completely in slow motion too.
I don't know.
To show how
there's a lot of
to be fair, it does show all of the bodies and the ship fall at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's again, I think it was also.
If your big objection with an action movie is that one of the good guys killed a bunch of bad guys and they didn't shoot him,
welcome
to action movies. Yeah.
Don't ever watch Star Wars.
I mean, why did the ninjas attack him one at a time?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm stretching. Well, I mean, because they run on the elephants, but that's a... You gotta really appreciate Scorpion King.
Scorpion King 3
to get that.
Yeah, the movie is amazing.
But
so good.
You have to really stretch to find a problem.
My biggest overall as a film standpoint problem is that the villains were Thanos was in it for 45 seconds. Karen Gillian's character had like one fight scene and a half dozen lines.
Karen Gillian is the
she was the chick. Cyborg robo chick.
Okay. Yeah. The redhead with no hair.
And not the Scottish accent. Yeah. The main villain like didn't really do much either. Like
he gave his great speech at the end, and then he looks up and is like, "Why is the guy dancing?"
He just goes, "What are you doing?"
He's like, "I'm literally about to destroy the planet, and I'm confused at what you're doing." It was such a good moment.
But like the villain, he was powerful enough to be a threat, but he wasn't actively interesting. Like as far as the things he did and stuff like that,
Marvel outside of Loki is very hit or miss with their villains.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how the villain cast is in the comic books.
Like, comic movies, usually they can give more interesting moments in the movie. They're usually...
Like, look at villains in DC Universe.
I'd rather not.
But they're, like the Joker and
the
stuff
Joker's
like that
amazing.
Is what he's talking
about. Well, no, you have to separate Batman villains from DC.
Okay, I was specifically thinking Batman villains.
Yeah,
okay.
Batman villains is a completely different
look at
different
Batman
beast.
Villains versus Marvel villains. And apparently the rest of the DC Universe also blows ass.
As an Arrow fan, some of those Arrow villains, they have both arrows, too.
Technically, you should probably just take Batman and put him into the Marvel universe because he fits into that world better than
he does feel like
anybody
a Marvel
else.
Character.
Yeah,
because he's actually good. Maybe he doesn't have ungodly powers because
the Flash has a talking gorilla for a villain.
Hey,
Batman, machine gun.
Batman hanging out with a Punisher and like Deadpool. That'd be a fun trilogy. That'd be a fun series.
Yeah, so Batman and Deadpool. Oh my god,
Batman and Deadpool would be amazing together.
But I didn't mind the villain being uninteresting because to me it was almost like Sauron, where you have this super powerful villain that's a legitimate world destroying threat who you just doesn't do anything, but you know you have to stop him anyway because if you let him do anything, everyone immediately dies.
And that's kind of how they had it set up in Guardians too, because that troop people had no business taking on that kind of power.
Ronan is definitely
like I think aside from Groot, I think none of them had any legitimate superpowers.
Well, I mean, one of them, I mean, they shot him with a super gun.
I don't know,
they
really
crashed him. A spaceship into him. That didn't really slow him down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They crashed a spaceship into his face, and then the spaceship he was on also crashed from orbit, and he's just like, that was mildly.
That was itchy.
It wasn't even that. Like, he just walked out of the rubble. He's like, whatever.
He was. I thought he was kind of cool, but definitely nowhere near on level I was.
If you ever looked into any of the Infinity Gem saga, is they're dealing with these power levels that are unreal. Like, half these people are like, I'm tired of that planet. I'm just going to kill all three of them.
Yeah. Well, he was literally a god.
Yeah.
I mean, once you put the Infinity Gem into him, but...
So, what was kind of cool is, I remember somebody posted, I think it was for Comic-Con, posted, like, all the spoilers. Not all the spoilers, but all the Easter eggs from all the Marvel movies. Kind of went over each one individually. And I did not realize it, though, but the Infinity Gauntlet is in Thor. And it's in the Asgardian Hall. The treasure trove. The Infinity Gauntlet is in there. They mentioned, the Tesseract is one of the Infinity Gems.
Right.
They pretty much,
they have
we
two.
Know already that the gem that Loki used was a Infinity Gem. The one he used for mind control.
Yeah.
The mind gem.
Yep.
This one, I think, was power, was it?
Power or soul?
Soul is green. Soul is actually...
This one was red.
Actually one of the things they mentioned, too.
This one was purple.
In the collector, there's like a giant caterpillar in one of the back shots there. and that's actually what spawns Adam Warlock. The guy who
has all kinds of weird stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cool. I'll post it a link guy. In there.
Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler. My God.
Howard the Duck's amazing. Holy. It is really raining outside.
It's really coming down.
Yeah. If we cut out suddenly from the internet, from our live stream. Live stream.
Anyway, that was the most amazing. Yeah,
Rocket Raccoon is my new favorite anything ever.
Yes. Well, that's because he has some of the best lines ever. Here's now we're all standing up
like jackasses.
I
need that guy's like.
I really appreciate Drax and Groot.
Yeah.
Groot mm-hmm. was great, especially.
Groot was fantastic.
Has that whole Han Solo Chewbacca thing where you can understand everything he's saying, but all he's saying is.
Well, Rocket's all great. You know, I mean, even like Zoe Saldana, she's like talking about pelvic sorcery and stuff like that. Like, they all got heroes, their moments.
Just like Kevin Bacon.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So the fact that because it was just meeting the characters and learning them, the villains were fairly irrelevant in this one. Yeah. But obviously, like a sequel,
it was also
origin had
story.
To be.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an origin story.
I mean, it was.
Yeah, yeah. Another interesting fact too is that Yondu, the main character,
the blue guy,
the blue guy.
Yeah,
he was
Merle.
Yeah, Merle. He was actually one of the
Grant
Michael
Grant.
Rooker.
Is the yeah Grant Grant. It's Grant.
Yes, it is Grant. Yes, I love Slither as well too.
What's China? It's a country where Chinese people come from.
Damn it! So Yondu was one of the original members of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's kind of weird.
He's like always technically a good guy. In the movie, they kind of paint him as kind of like a
mixed bag.
Bad.
But he's an anti-hero, original member, but not like, if I recall correctly, the original run of Guardians of the Galaxy from older actually chronologically takes place after the more recent run. So in chronology speaking, he'd be a future member of the Guardians of the Galaxy because the like the 1969 run takes place after the 2008 run.
Hmm.
I'd have to double check, but I remember that's something I think I remember hearing. I could be completely wrong, but that's something I vividly remember hearing. Is the stuff like the Groot and the Rocket and Star Lord and stuff is chronologically speaking before the group that they had in the 60s.
And the movie made a crap ton of money too. So
yeah, they're gonna make more. They were obviously already gonna make more.
Also,
but
the other thing too is that Cosmos the dog with the helmet, it's Leica. No, it's not. It's Cosmos the dog. It's Cosmos is one of the members of the Guardians of the Galaxy as well.
Well, I'm assuming it's Leica.
You were thinking that it was like the one that
it's a Russian cosmonaut dog. Yeah, I'm assuming it's
I assumed the same thing.
Yeah. No, it was Cosmos. It actually might be. It might have changed him for that.
It's like Clark Kent and Superman. Cosmos is the superhero name for the dog whose real name is Leica.
There's a lot of comics of Raccoon riding him around doing crazy things.
That's pretty fantastic. I will say...
I'm not a rodent!
The thing about the movie was it was like the best parts of Firefly and Star Wars had a baby.
That's another thing I heard is that this movie is what Firefly fans remember Firefly being like.
Because Firefly didn't have the action.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the best parts of Firefly and Star Wars had a baby.
Yeah, so you got this nice cast of like quasi competent yet oddly incompetent, individuals with some great dialogue and
amazing
then,
dialogue.
There's a whole opening scene
that don't really trust
when
each other.
Yeah, but he's so like just being silly listening to his music, dancing on his way to the thing. It's so
that opening. Yeah, the second opening scene, the one that didn't make me want to kill myself, is so hilarious.
And what Brian's saying is like he's got that they did a good job of introducing the balance of being goofy and seeming incompetent and being kind of incompetent, but also being able to kill like 20 people and escape from heavily armed stuff.
Also being amazing.
Yeah, being amazing as well.
I was a little, I felt like there was some buildup with so obviously we're in spoiler territory here. So the triangle thing, which he uses repeatedly in the first 25 minutes of the film.
Gravity well?
Yeah, the gravity. So he uses it to get the ball. He uses it to stop the guys at the ship. He uses it to stop Zoe Saldana when she's getting away from him. And then he forgets how to use it the rest of the movie.
Or he didn't have it the rest of the movie because... Yeah.
He got all of his gear back.
He was more just cassette.
But remember, he was missing like the cassette deck. So
just the cassette.
Maybe he had three of those.
Yeah, that's for two.
Maybe I would like to. I would like to go back and watch when he's rifling through his.
Well, one of them he
container.
For sure lost because he threw it at the guy.
Yeah, and just like I'm out
to distract him to get out.
Yeah, so, but since he reused it on Zoe, like he clearly had at least one more.
He might have had three total.
He might have. Point being, I would like to.
That's a long stretch too.
That is a long stretch.
I'd like to look through the casket when he's going through it. Like, he's flipped through it. And there's obviously stuff in there, and like, see if any of it's clearly the gravity thing. It's just like, yeah, you just decide not to use it anymore, I guess.
The soundtrack is also amazing.
Oh,
well,
yes.
I mean, look at this side. What other spots do you have a good opportunity to really put that to use?
When they were on the ship? And so, there were all the bad guys everywhere?
I don't think you want to put a gravity well in your ship.
No, no, no. Well, he uses it.
It's all on the planet.
I guess it's all on the planet. Ah, yeah, that's fair.
I'm just saying opening like what effectively is a mini black hole inside of your ship is probably bad.
Possibly. Conceivably bad.
Yeah, between the music and his gift from his mom, it was a perfect
the music. Oh, yeah, the soundtrack.
It is a great soundtrack. Yeah. I mean, they're like, hey, let's have this whole soundtrack be amazing oldies.
Yeah.
Can do.
We can do that, boss.
Yeah, I mean, for the same reason that like
my ship would look like a Jackson Pollock painting.
It is
so good.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, if you have not seen it and you're still listening to our podcast, turn off our podcast or pause it. Go watch the movie and then come back.
In general, just turn off our podcast.
Okay, so we jumped to like 45. So we're no more spoilers at this point.
Sure.
All right, that's good. All right.
Except this one stuff.
No. Well, I'm going to try to plug it in there.
There's a topless shot of Zoe Saldana in the trailers, and she's never topless in the film, so that was blatant bait and switch to get horny fanboys into the film. I'm on to you.
And I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it.
They didn't have a shot with all four, five of them in the prison thing.
Yep. The lineup, like the usual suspects.
I guarantee both of those are in the extended cut.
James Gunn films certain scenes
just for the trailer.
And it makes sense for the first two.
That's something they do.
I haven't watched much of the other trailers on there, but the first two trailers that they put out for it were perfect because they didn't give away anything of the story.
Nope.
They just told us, here's some characters. There you go. Done.
The first trailer that came out is, I think, the best trailer I've ever seen for a film. It was amazing.
In recent times, yeah. It made
like some of the Hitchcock trailers were really good. Like the legendary Godzilla trailer is
still so good.
The Godzilla trailer is really good. Yeah, that is true. But the Hitchcock trailer for Psycho, where he doesn't tell you anything, he just goes to the different sets and says what happens here is terrible. I don't even want to talk about it. It's horrible and stuff like that. Was for a long time held up as the best trailer, but. The first trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy, the music was amazing. The way they used the Ooga Chukka segue into just the thundering stuff when they showed rapid action clips, the character introduction, just that trailer, and no plot explanation. Just it was flawless.
I may have watched a trailer a lot.
I watched it a few times.
I watched that trailer almost as much as I watched the Borderlands 2 trailer.
I thought you were going to mention more as much as I watch porn.
that would be a
why would I need porn when I can masturbate to the Borderlands 2 trailer and the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer?
True.
His ship is filthy.
I timed it with the Ooga Chukkas.
Fair. Oh my gosh.
He's got his own rocket raccoon, if you know what he means.
A red rocket raccoon?
Yes.
All right. What's our next topic?
The board game thing, apparently.
Sadness.
Board games!
Do you want me to read like the actual wording?
The general gist. Okay, you can look it up. I'll say
I don't
the gist
have it
while you look
I don't
up.
Have
whatever.
It
the general gist of it was if we had to design a board game, what kind of mechanics would we put into said board game? Which kind of boils down to what are our favorite board game mechanics.
Yeah.
Because obviously we'd put our favorite mechanic into a board game that we ourselves designed.
Yep.
And I might as well go first because I'm already talking. And I would say I really enjoy games where the forces or pieces or armies or kingdoms or whatever they may be on the board are not one-to-one tied into the players. I like where it's kind of nebulous and you have your fingers in all the pots. Like one of my favorite games along these lines is a game called Imperial, which is a World War One game where you have, you know, Turkey and Italy and Germany and Austria and England or whatever, and they're all doing their combat, but each player isn't one of the kingdoms, or not kingdoms, countries. You actually, basically, you buy stock in them to determine how well they're doing, almost like businesses, and whoever's controlling the stock in the country gets to determine what they do, but that can change as you buy and sell stock in the company, quote-unquote, and so it's kind of interesting because you have your fingers in all these pots, and whoever's controlling it at one time isn't necessarily controlling it at the next time, and I really think that's cool. It's very nebulous. It's very always shifting. And so I actually 70% designed a game. I have components and rule books and stuff written up at home, and I never finished and got quite a beta play testable version of it made. But I was making a game that was along those lines where everybody played gods and the armies on the board. The way it would work is think Risk. But at the end of every round, you use the victory points that you've earned to bid to on who you're going to control for the next round. So if there's a country that's doing well, it might get you victory points or whatever, and then that's great. And the next round, say, well, this place is really shitty, I'll just take it. And somebody's like, well, I'll bid all these victory points for this other one. So it's almost like if you think like Small World, where you then had to change what races you had every time. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah, it's interesting.
True story.
Yeah. I didn't put too much thought into it. I'm not a huge board game fan like the rest of you guys are. The ones I really enjoy playing, though, are the ones that have a... When there's more than just like the four like starter packages where every one has a different perk or advantage, that quirk. So things you see like Twilight Imperium or
Dune.
Cosmic Encounters.
Dune. Eclipse.
Yeah.
Cosmic Encounter, which I should bring again sometime. We all enjoyed it the one time we played it.
So I need to play it again and give you a short.
That is one of the best parts about Eclipse, in my opinion, is that the races are all different.
Yeah, and I like that mechanic as long as everything's balanced well. So I understand why there's not a lot of those.
By the way, don't say you like Twilight Imperium in this room that you'll get lynched. Oh. I'll try to defend you, but we're a minority.
Well,
to be fair, I've never played it, so I'm not a voting member.
It's very hard. You have to play it once every like 3 years to be able to enjoy it, because it's going to take all goddamn day.
Yeah, imagine Eclipse and if you never attacked each other and it took 16 hours.
So you haven't played Eclipse, so maybe there's something better that I'm not aware of.
It's, you know, Twilight Imperium is a Cold War game because you all just build up defensive lines and never actually attack each other, and Eclipse is a war game.
Yeah. Okay.
It really is Twilight Imperium where you fight each other and it only takes 2 hours.
You're all heavy-induced, but there's definitely war involved. Yeah. But,
yeah. Well, right, and I understand it, but that was mentioned kind of like as an example.
Yeah, yeah, though, no, it's a good example. I agree.
Like, I really enjoy Descent. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun with that one. All those other ones where it's like, okay, well, everyone works about the same way, but there's this little spin on it, you know?
No, that's a good point.
It's going to be kind of fun with that, then. It shows some player skill, and it can be exciting as you find out new ways to spin that spin.
Yes.
Like our example of the honk when we played Zombicide. You know, it's like, oh, wait a second, it's actually slightly different than even appeared, and it's kind of fun to discover more usages of your advantages.
Yeah, and or like whenever you've got like these things that look like they're a natural born penalty to the race or army or whatever, and like, wait a minute, if I play the game this way, you know, suddenly like that penalty's not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I didn't realize we were each picking a concept, so
you don't have to.
No, it's a good idea.
What did you think we were doing?
I don't know.
I mean, how is that different? Than what like the boobies? Actual question was?
Can you put more boobies into the game?
Boobies in the game is always fun. I do enjoy that.
You just want lots of colorful things.
I literally do not understand how that's different than what you thought the question was.
I just wasn't prepared mentally, clearly.
Okay. It's like, they're like, what's your favorite pie? And you're like, I didn't realize we had to pick a pie. Like, I don't understand the difference.
I'm actually rather fond of cake.
I like the ingredients of pie.
I do like I do like pie. It's tasty. I guess I thought we were going to be like, well, these pies are all delicious, as opposed to I like eggs. To go with the pie analogy, like you guys are picking like a piece of a game that you really like the eggs or the cream or whatever. And I thought we were going to be like, well, these six games are all kind of cool, and if we kind of mesh them together, that'd be cool.
You can do it that way too.
Well, right, yeah. But no, yeah, Andy, go. I'll just think for a moment here.
The question was, what game mechanic?
My brain hurts.
Mechanic singular.
Andy.
So I may not seem like the person that really likes a lot of these type of board games, a lot of the war games like Risk or.
The heavy Euro games a lot of times.
Not really Euro games. More of like the heavy combat games, like Risk, Twilight Imperium,
StarCraft.
StarCraft. But the one thing I do like, and I'm not sure if I'm remembering the game wrong, Greyhawk Wars had a very similar thing where you had, you know, giant bunches of troops running around, but you never knew what was in those stacks of troops. And the only way that you knew what was in those stacks of troops is when you attacked them.
Sure.
So it was a kind of a hidden element.
They were chits that
yeah, they were chits that you would stack up.
You might have known the top chit at the very most, but you didn't know what was
or if it was led by like a hero or something like that. You knew that the hero was there, but you had no idea that underneath the hero was like all crap troops. So it was like a huge stack, and you're like, oh, I'm not going to touch that thing. Or it was involving like mountain trolls and et cetera. I kind of like that hidden element. It made it so you can defensively play better, in a sense.
There was an old game called Titan and I think it was re-released like 3 or 4 years ago, because it was originally like from the 70s or something,
sure.
where you had like your hero, and he went around on this map, and he basically mustered fantasy creatures into his army, like manticores and sphinx, like whatever, and sure. everything. And so you got a big stack, but only your titan on top was visible, and it was that same thing. And so you'd go around, and you'd kind of be able to keep track of what people were mustering, but you'd lose track eventually, because you had 3 or 4 different armies as well.
Yep.
And so that was the thing. When you finally attacked somebody, you both just spooled your stacks out and played a game on a little mini war game map and attacked each other.
That's almost exactly what Greyhawk Wars is. Except for it's a co-op game. You have a group of people there playing the Axis and
there's two sides, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Titan was every man for himself.
And it's a little bit like Rune Wars. You had a hero face who ran around to heroes, and you had like the army face, which is like Rune Wars a little bit.
Yeah, it's a game I would love to bring out again, but it takes like 6 hours to set up, and then it takes about 6 hours to play.
Yeah.
So you have to plan like a Sunday. To
As mentioned with Twilight Imperium, I am always a person who, if I like a game that takes 12 hours, it has been too long since I've played a game for 12 hours.
Rules written by TSR, so old the game.
Never mind. No, I'm just kidding.
just to give an idea how old the game is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of their last games.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that hidden aspect type thing. I have, much like Nathan, I have like thought processes in my head for creating like a Viking saga type game. So that's
you can't say saga. King Games will sue you.
Fuck them.
No, you can only crush candy.
Mine would actually be true to what it is, which is a.
So it was the Banner Saga.
Yeah, No, but I mean that I have an idea of a game that's similar to that. But
I have decisioned.
Tell us about your egg.
So I really like games where you have multiple, like Jeff was talking about different race spins, like different advantage or whatever, and this kind of ties into that, where there are multiple different paths to victory. So as an example would be Eclipse. You can win on tech, you can win on combat, you can win on exploration, and your race may feed into one or the other, and often in order to win you have to do well in more than one. Yes.
Would you have a component in that game where if you solve a puzzle on the side, that all the stuff that you do would just be invalid?
No, I would not.
Not just a little jigsaw puzzle next to the board?
No, I don't think I'd do that.
Oh.
I've heard about that game you guys played.
Yeah. I didn't play it.
Was it Brian?
Were you me and Jim and Nick.
Yeah. Was that Mansions of Madness?
No, it was Android.
Android.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Never mind. But yeah, so like I really like that aspect. Or like... I'm trying to think. The Mayan calendar game.
Zolkin.
It is Zolkin. Okay. The Mayan calendar game where you've got the God track and you've got the tech track and you've got feeding into that, I like things like that game does with the I forget what they're called, monuments, I think, which are like each game, certain number of them come up, and those can also feed into your victory condition.
Well, like Puerto Rico was one of the granddads of that, because it had the big buildings, and you could do the different commodities, and you could do shipping or building and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean,
There's tons
that's
of
a
games
Euro
that,
thing
there's
for
tons
sure.
of games that use that aspect. I really like it. It also helps to prevent the problem of, in a pure point-based game, he's winning by 10 points, everybody get him. Like you can still kind of math it out and figure out kind of where you are, but until you get to the very end, it's very hard to tell how well a strategy is doing sometimes. And so you don't get that aggressive.
Because new buildings are constantly flipping
out. Yeah, stuff's coming up that could change everything on the last turn of the game.
And like some people just do a strategy that's actual VPs, and some people do a strategy where it's get a whole bunch of bonuses at the end.
Yep, and I really like that. That's one of my favorite mechanics. A lot of the games that I really enjoy have that. So I'm done.
I agree multiple. Well, I just like multiple options one. But, I mean, if it's a crippled system game, you definitely. I mean, it's all, you know, the idea is if it was a crippled system game, what element?
Oh, I forgot about
that
part.
Well, if it was a crippled
system
game, it just had a lot of pieces with a whole bunch of rules, but no win condition.
Well, you'd also have a lot of treachery. You'd have to be able to
screw
each other
constantly.
There
would be a lot of treachery.
Like an automatic. Like, the Blobo game cheating is mandatory. Like, this game, treachery is mandatory. Like, you must screw over your opponent or you lose points.
there would be a Howler Monkey piece.
Yeah.
It would just be called Jeremy. And they would just immediately be out of the game.
I was thinking more like nothing personal.
So we need a crippled system game where we all have different powers. There's multiple paths of victory. You don't get to control any of the people specifically. There's hidden strengths and...
Well, what I like in it... one of the ones I like in a game, and this is StarCraft, Rune Wars has it, and some other games have it too, where you have 5 options, and any given turn you can play 3 or 4. So you never can do everything you want, but you have the resources to choose it, so it's up to you on every given turn to go, well, which one do I play? And I like games where you can determine the order of how you pull them off. And where StarCraft even has the element is you put them on different parts of the map, but then other people can stack their orders on top of your orders. So
your mind breaks open, yeah, and you forget I have to pick
four of eight. Then I have to pick where they go, and then I have to see, well, is someone going to put theirs on top of mine and mess up my orders? I really like the order of operation depth where you have to pick and choose what you can do and where you do it and that kind of stuff.
And it actively encourages treachery.
treachery is important.
It's so annoying in StarCraft when you're like, this order needs to go, and then this one, and then this one, and then somebody puts a chit on top of the first one and refuses to remove it, so you're forced to do number two first. It's like, I'm going to move these guys that I haven't bought yet here.
And also, if it's Gribble System, it has to be a big map, and everything has to be named, and you have to call it the names of places, because you have to have a geography memory when you play this game. There has to be some sort of that has to be part of the game, just to see how often we can screw that up. That's all I got.
All right. Cool. Well, that was easy.
Yeah.
And it has to be a map that can't fold up.
Those are so annoying.
And Jeremy has to design the map, so we won't know where anything. So that'll balance.
Oh, I'm just going to randomly pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, over there.
Yeah. You put the Ukraine to Jamaica.
I don't think I would do that one.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna say, but then it'd be so messed up. And then when we play, we would have to constantly struggle with where things are. But you would just know. Well, you would have forgotten because you're.
Well, yeah, that's
so
true.
It'd be a balanced problem for everybody. And every game you'd have to pull off and put the planet recreate it every time.
And Madison would be in the center of the map.
Yeah,
because it'd be hilarious.
Okay, yes. Then,
you agree?
Well, I responded with a counter offer.
No.
Okay. I don't know what we're talking about. What time is it? We are over an hour in. We should do a quick zappity.
No, we'll do it now and next week.
No.
Go on.
I don't want to do it now. I'll do it next week.
Oh, at least a couple.
Okay.
Whatever. Zappity grumble, go.
Okay. Why are trolls so popular now?
Trolls?
I don't know. The Meat Mountain hit and turned out it was good.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt that people have qualified with trolls? Like Chad
qualified with trolls? That might be some of it. There might be people who have been playing them long enough they finally figured it out and they got a couple important enough pieces to skew it.
There was Flanzer's Dream Run at War Machine Weekend where he did the entire Last Chance qualifier and then got all the way to the finals with trolls.
And he couldn't roll dice well enough. Good job.
Yeah, he should have won that finals game.
He had like a 65-70% run.
I guess should have is the wrong word, but yeah, I thought he had it. So yeah, I mean, I think trolls are doing well now. Trolls are...
They just endure.
They endure, and something that some of our players have complained about something like Meat Mountain is it's super easy to operate. Mm-hmm. It's like, turn one, I put everything in the stone and I run. Turn two, I feat and I run. Now I play a game. Whereas your opponent is like, oh my god, what do I do for the first two turns of the game?
Yeah, and that's just you're waiting for your opponent to screw up.
Yeah, and then your opponent,
all you're doing.
You wait for your opponent's mind to crack open in front of you like an egg, and then you just eat them.
Usually you scramble a little first, but then...
Or raw, like a man.
More egg talk from Jeremy.
I've got eggs on the brain now, so I just can't... I can't get away from it.
Do you need some crackers?
I do not need some crackers.
Grumble.
Which pieces from War Machine Hordes do you lament never seeing? How could you incentivize the play of suboptimal pieces? Well, I personally can't.
I play all the bad pieces in Trolls, so...
You do.
Yeah. I sent that picture of you with the two Skinners in front of a Mountain King and a Bouncer out, and people were like, I won that game!
Yeah. It's actually a decent list. I played against you with it. I guess that's not a very good judge to be me with it, but still. I think that a lot of ways that Privateer Press is doing this with UAs and Theme Forces, like the Kalista Theme Force, on paper, the models it lets you take, no one would ever... But the Theme Force benefits are amazing, and so people are all excited about it.
That Theme Force, by the way, so is Zappity.
That first round benefit is pretty baller.
And that second round benefit when she just pops her feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting two feats in the same game, pretty good.
Oh,
yeah. So UAs, Theme Forces, stuff like that, definitely. Yeah. And hypothetically subtle erratas like they did with Ryas getting reached, but that should be at a minimal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shouldn't be like all of a sudden like Grotesques now have two attacks.
Although that'd be nice.
It would be nice, but I mean, it would.
Yeah, you have to minimize because then people who don't see the errata or whatnot, like, there's not.
Really caught off guard.
Players need to know about the errata and make sure that new players know about the errata. That messes things up.
Yeah. And, like, as far as UAs, like, we're talking about trolls, like, look at who played Scattergunners before the UA came out.
Me.
me.
Very few people.
But I regretted my decisions, but right. I still did it.
But like now with that UA, though. They're legit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, they're 100%
UAs legit. Can fix anything.
Yep.
Zappity.
Rumble.
Hashtag blame Jeremy. If you ain't first, you're last. What is the battle cry of a generation? What is your battle cry? The grammar there confuses me, but I think the gist of the question is, what is your battle cry?
That is the gist of the question.
Spoon!
Damn it!
I was going to say, not in the face, not in the face.
Damn it. Not in the face.
Bring me my pants.
Why? You would never request pants.
That is true.
That's the battle cry of the opponents. Bring me his pants. I need to put them on him.
Bring him some pants.
It's a little bit like not in the face, not in the face.
If you're in a situation where they're both valid battle cries, you are sad.
I am surprised at this, and Brian hasn't remembered this, but I will steal it from him from many, many years ago. All who oppose me will drown knee-deep in the blood of their children.
It's actually a much longer whole spiel, but yeah.
It's not really a battle cry. It's a battle speech. Maybe.
The rivers will flow with the blood of the non-believers.
I don't have a good battle cry, sadly. Though I was going to totally go spooky.
I want that to be your battle cry. I don't have a good battle cry, sadly. And then you charge into battle.
Words.
They're pretty good.
Zappity.
I like colloquialisms. In northeastern England, Doyle means idiot or fool. Tell me one from your region.
Bubbler.
Yeah.
It's water fountain.
Yeah.
Done.
It is
soda means cool. Soda.
Yeah. Although that confuses people in other parts of the country that don't think it's soda.
Or how Coke is all types of soda in the South.
Yes, including Pepsi or Diet Sprite.
Right. Well, that's the thing is, I don't mind Coke also meaning Pepsi, because at least you're using it generically for cola. But when Coke means Sprite, it's like, no. No.
I don't know what to tell you.
Zebby.
Grumble?
I guess.
What board game do you like to play but haven't in years?
Greyhawk Wars?
Yeah, I was going to say we got example one. I actually haven't played Eclipse in forever, and I really enjoyed it, and unfortunately Missiles broke the game.
Well, we talked about several options
We did. We never got back to do it. Yeah.
Well, we'll bring it out someday, and we'll just play without the... We'll just,
but that's one that I really liked that we haven't played forever.
I have a bunch of my games that this group has mentioned a dozen times here doesn't like the like 6, 8, 10, 12-hour long games, but I have a bunch of like heavier games that... Like, I'll bring them out. Like, Age of Conan, I brought out once when I lived with Andy, and we played it, and everybody's like, oh, that was pretty decent. We should play it again sometime so that we don't have to all relearn it. And then a year later, I played it with a group, the podcast group, and we're like, that was fun. We should play that again. And then it's been like another year, and I haven't played it again. So I have a lot of the big games that just don't get a lot of table time.
May not be qualified as a board game, but I haven't played Silent Death in eons.
I don't even know that one.
It's an old spaceship one. Yeah, okay. Basically, like there weren't even factions, but there's scenarios.
Sounds
we have.
Familiar. Right?
Yeah, it's been discontinued for a very long time.
I have Starfleet Battles. Does that?
No, it does not. I don't want to go anywhere near that nonsense.
What? Age of Empires, a game where the game time
Star
on the
Trek
box,
Fleet Captain's amazing.
Yeah, it is. The game time on the box is always low. You know, they're always like, this game takes 45, and it only takes an hour. The game time on Empires at Arms is 300 hours. It's pretty awesome.
Wow.
Battle, Game of Thrones.
We haven't played that in forever.
Battles of Westeros?
Battle of Westeros.
Yeah.
Fun game.
Starks have advantage. Dick.
Only if the great choice are dumb. But yeah, I really like that one.
Yeah, baby.
A grumble, I guess.
Favorite Wisconsin tourist attraction? House on the Rock?
That's the biggest
cool
one.
Cool in Wisconsin-y and...
The Dells. Dells are solid. I mean,
House of the Rock is the most cliched one. It is. You know, it's the
Cave of the Mounds is actually. If you like Cave of the Mounds, Cave of the Mounds is pretty cool.
Lambeau Field,
mm-hmm. Of course, and as was go to the Brewers or whatever. But the Dells, if you're going to come here and go one place, the Dells, it's a pure concentration.
The
of
Dells is a
trap.
Good, right? Is a very good answer.
It's everything all just crushed together.
Yeah. You have to ride a duck.
You get to ride a duck. You can do Mount Olympus.
You hear about
strip clubs, casinos.
Hear about the duck versus semi?
I assume the semi won.
Yes. And we're not talking like duck as in like, quack. No. But it's vehicles that can go land and water. But yeah, it didn't work out very well. That was just recent too. Last day.
Sad.
Yeah.
Zappity?
Grumble.
My friends are trying to tempt me back into Warhammer. How do I tell them nicely their game is horrible and they should feel bad for playing something so unbalanced and badly designed? Yours, Pip.
Try looking at any of GW's financial statements.
Well, I think he said he just worded it perfectly. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say
ask him to
take a picture of your Facebook post and then show it to them and then spit on them.
No. I would say ask them to play play 7th edition, if they're okay with playing 7th edition.
Having ex-
He wants to politely make them not play at all.
Yeah, he wants to make them not ask him anymore, but not be unfriended.
That's you know, I will only play 7th edition, which is, it would be basically like somebody saying to us, like, I will only play Mark 1.
Oh, well.
So...
I assumed 7th was the new. I didn't know.
No, 7th edition is the one that's actually halfway decent.
Last I played was 2nd edition.
You didn't play 2nd edition. You're talking about Warhammer 40K.
Yeah.
Fantasy. Yeah. We're talking fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Is he?
Well, he just says Warhammer, but I assume...
Gotcha. Immediately what comes in my mind is
Warhammer's
fantasy.
Usually the fantasy. 40K is usually...
Oh, okay. 40K. I played 40K usually. 2nd.
Yeah. But, I mean, the last edition that Brian and I played was 7th edition, and that still involved... tactics. Somewhat. Go ahead.
Yeah. You can also just never be friends with them again.
That's true.
Yeah. Like, this is kind of saying my friends are trying to convince me that I should skin dogs alive. How do I tell them I don't want to? Just don't be friends with them. They're horrible people.
Yeah. I mean, you have a greater concentration of people in your area. You could probably find more friends.
Zappity.
Okay.
Grumble.
A country you'd like to visit but may never be able to get to.
I'd like to go to, just go to Europe in general, but I think the next thing we might be able to do is Australia. We might go.
At
as
this
a
point, we might make it a group trip because everybody wants to go now because Brian's really cool. Such a cool guy.
Well, also Australia's really awesome.
Well, as long as I have to see you guys if we go there, I would enjoy myself.
Right.
I'd like to go to Germany again. But I'm guessing I probably will, so I don't know. Like some maybe Russia. Kremlin's cool. Like Moscow looks like a cool place to go, but I don't think I'd ever go.
I've heard good things of Iceland.
I've heard very good things about Iceland as well, actually. But I've never been.
A weird place to hear good things about.
I have heard multiple people really enjoy Iceland.
Yeah, a lot of people have told me.
Australia, I'm hoping I will go, so that's why I'm not going to say Australia, because they're like, Iceland, I probably won't go to, but if I had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I could say Jamaica, but that'd be just a
joke. I guess Japan. Japan for me, like,
yeah, that's a place I've always wanted to go, but probably never will.
Weeaboo.
More or less.
All right.
Well, actually, no, I don't think their culture is superior. I'm really curious because I've gotten all the secondhand culture.
Gotcha.
Like does it pan out, or is it just as creepy as all the other, you know, stereotypes say?
Right.
I've actually always wanted to hike the Cinque Terre in Spain. Spain, I want to say.
Do what to a chicken?
Hike the Cinque Terre. It's a.
Did you say chink? Oh my god! Jeremy!
Zappy. What is one model that you must absolutely, completely, 100% kill when you see it across the table?
Their Warcaster.
Nail? Actually, answer. Nate's answer wins.
Zappity.
Nate's answer wins. Rumble. What further education do you guys have? And if you were doing it all again, what would you study and why?
I take more art than art and production classes.
I would have graduated high school.
I would have taken I would have went with the more money thing.
Something that makes more money.
Yeah.
I actually really like what I did with my education. I would do it over again.
Yeah, well, you're a programmer at Epic, so you're doing okay.
I mean, I did get a graduate degree before I did that. I don't regret any of that, and Epic hires people who don't have graduate degrees, but I enjoyed what I did for my what further education. I did a graduate degree in computer engineering, so, and I liked it.
I've got an associate's in accounting, and I'd love to push that to a bachelor someday.
Yeah,
so
definitely. Again, with the making more money thing.
Right.
Zibital?
Sure.
Grumble.
With summer coming to a close, what are some of your favorite things about the fall?
It's not summer.
Halloween's awesome. Everybody should celebrate Halloween.
Yeah, that.
Halloween's fucking amazing. And screw people who are stupid and don't like Halloween.
I used to do things for Halloween every year. I haven't in so many years.
We just need to. We need to have a costume party. Like a horror,
we saw a horror movie with Katie last year.
That's true.
We need to have a costume party, goddammit.
That's true. Maybe next year.
Okay.
No, I agree. We should have a Crippled System costume party.
Yes.
I can just hear Brian just like slowly sighing away.
I'm not really a
costume
person. No,
he's plotting
either.
His costume as Epic Denegra.
Ever. Yeah.
No, I'm really not. Katie really likes costumes, but it's not really my thing.
I think it would be fun.
Put on a suit and say you're a secret agent.
I have worn more costumes on Halloween than some people. That's my statement.
That's a statement.
I don't go to states or to Halloween anymore because, you know, after five or six riots. You've just been through enough.
Yeah, that's fair.
I've gone through plenty of Halloween. Mm-hmm. And now it's boring because there's too many cops.
Because they got rid of the riots.
They fixed it too hard.
But I mean, I went down when the riots were still common, and that's like, okay, another riot.
One of my favorite things, and I know I've told this story before, but one of my favorite moments was after, I think it was the second to last of the big riots, they had in the newspaper the next day, like, a timeline. And the best part was, like, 3:05 a.m., the crowd begins chanting, "We want tear gas, we want tear gas." 3:06 a.m., the police tear gas the crowd. It's like, well, you know,
give what they want.
They asked for it.
Give the people what they want.
Literally.
I went down to State Street back when when I first moved here, and it was still pretty, a little bit risky. And there were cops, but not like now. Like, they didn't have it locked down. And all I remember is one of the first things I saw is I was, like, walking into State Street, and I watched two cops take this almost naked woman. Like, she had a costume on, but she was basically naked.
Yeah.
Who, I don't know what she'd been doing, but they shoved her up against the storefront, zip-tied her hands, and carried her away while she was, like, trying to writhe and, like, rub up against them. And I was just like, so that's State Street? Okay. Mm-hmm. That happened.
I had a coworker one of those years where he and his buddy went,
"Officers, I'll handle this one."
I'll take care of that for you.
They went to State Street, and their costume was as the cameraman and whatnot of a Girls Gone Wild crew.
Nice.
It was like, I think a lot of the drunk girls didn't realize it was, like, that was their plan.
Yeah.
They're like, this is win-win. It's either a great costume or we're just going to videotape lots of tits.
Right. Win.
Taking notes. Things to do.
Brian has a new costume idea.
Pants.
Zebedee. Grumbo.
Nathan serenaded me. I think he might have meant Nathan serenade me.
Serenade me, yeah.
Well, you added a D to it, so good job, Cool
Maybe
Kurt.
Maybe I did.
Maybe you did. Did you serenade Cool Kurt?
You know, don't kiss and tell.
Cool Kurt?
Yeah, it's Cool Kurt. Kurt Hinman the second.
I thought that was his brother.
No.
Never mind. I thought somebody. Never mind. I didn't read. Zavity.
Grumble. Can we do a Kickstarter for Nathan and Katie's dream wedding? Sorry. It's funny. Nathan's getting married already. He's already getting his dream wedding, right, Nate?
I'm not a Mormon.
Well, I suppose.
But I could be.
But you
ladies.
Could be.
Kurt. You are like, so beautiful.
Now.
No, that's fine. I need some Gilbert and Sullivan. Better far to live and die under the brave black flag I fly than play a sanctimonious part with a pirate head and a pirate heart. No?
Nope.
Okay, never mind.
Don't know that one.
Nobody's going to jump in as the background pirates?
I'm not going to jump in as the background pirates. And for he is the pirate king.
Here's hurrah for the pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king.
Zappity.
Aww.
Rumble?
Sorry, Kurt.
Aww. If you could ask a Zappity Grumble question, what would it be? Not that.
Zappity?
Aww. Grumble.
Sorry, Hudson. If you had to pick one character from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia to become part of your local meta.
Charlie.
Zappity.
Silva.
I've literally never watched an episode of the show.
Motherfucker!
Pepe Silva should be.
These people are real, and they want their models.
I don't know. We need some protection. I have to get Mac. We need
Fat Mac. There's cultivating mass.
I mean, we already have the O'Boyles.
Or Mac's cousin was kind of funny.
Yeah. Mac's dad. The ostrich. The actual literal ostrich from the Halloween episode.
That is the greatest sight gag ever.
Exactly. Oh.
The greatest sight gag ever is when Mac turned around and that goddamn ostrich was in the bathroom with him. I laughed for like an hour.
You sound confused. You look confused.
No, I've seen one episode and I don't remember the character names that well. So.
Oh, well, it was basically because they make fun of D, and D is basically bird-like.
She's tall and skinny and has angular features.
So throughout the episode, she was just slowly degenerating into
a bird.
They did flashbacks, like each person told their version of what they saw, and in the first person version, it was Halloween, so they had costumes. Yeah. And like Dee just had like a feather in her head because she was a flapper as her costume. And then the second person, she had like a feather bow and ever. And the third person, she like I think she even had like a fake beak on or whatever. Nice. And then the fourth person, their flashback, and he turns around and there's literally an ostrich there, and the ostrich is like, "Rah, rah!" And he's like, "I know Dee, but still," and he talks to the ostrich.
That's pretty good.
Oh, it's amazing.
Who's that?
Bye-bye.
Howard the Duck? Question mark.
Yes.
Absolutely. Howard the Duck.
Definitely not for children, is what somebody said at the end of the
movie. Yeah, right?
The thing is like, yeah, the thing that happens at the end, yeah, that's totally for children. I'm like, have you read anything by Howard? He is a degenerate Donald Duck.
I do like when we went in to sit down, like the usher or whatever, he goes, hey guys, just to let you know, there is something at the end of the credits. Like, no shit, it's a Marvel movie, go away.
Go away, no one cares, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be surprised when people, when my viewing just got up at the start of the credits, like, well, you don't know what's going on.
People are called into a Marvel movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens every time. And then there's always a scene at the beginning of the credits, too. Mm-hmm. And so they get up and they walk down the aisles, and then they just awkwardly stand there while this scene happens. And then they leave, and then there's a second scene. It's like, oh my God, jerks.
Is that right?
Grumble. Favorite zombie movie? Surely you have a vote for this, Brian.
That's just too many.
It's the Australian one, Undead.
Undead's pretty
Undead.
Good.
That one's kind of funny.
It's fine. I mean,
it's weird. It's not my favorite, but it's...
Australian horror movies are always fucking crazy weird. I love when I'm going to watch them. Even the New Zealand movies are fucking crazy. But if I'm sitting down and I have a movie from Australia, I have to like strap myself into my seat because whatever's about to happen is going to be fucking weird. And then the German ones are just fucking disturbing. It's just like there's like just certain countries when they make horror movies, they you could tell the culture is just a little bit off.
Yeah. I like Undead, but I honestly, probably my favorite out of them, I actually like Dawn.
The remake or the original?
The remake's amazing.
The remake is actually super amazing. I liked it a lot.
I'm not one for horror movies, but that for a zombie movie, I actually really like.
You want to go ahead and name the one big annoying flaw at the end of that one?
Oh, yeah. My favorite part of that whole movie. So it takes place in Wisconsin, and they're all lost, and they get onto a boat, and they're sailing around in Lake Michigan. They cannot possibly be anywhere near salt water because there's...
They're in Lake Michigan.
I know that much geography.
They're in Lake Michigan, and there's fucking Niagara Falls. But they can't go up Niagara Falls, so there's no way they could be near salt water. And then they kept on showing parts in there of them dying of thirst, so they have to land the boat.
Well, you don't want to drink the water out of Lake Michigan. Have you seen that lake?
It's probably not so bad in the middle of the lake.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Yeah. That is a fair point. I mean, there's always like studies and videos like, this came out of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
But if I had to drink algae water or land and be eaten by zombies, I'd probably drink algae water.
Yeah. So that's my major flaw of that, is when they're talking about how they're out of water in the middle of fucking Lake Michigan.
I love how unsuccessful the chainsaw is when they finally use the chainsaw. Yes. It's great just to hoist that cliche by its lampshade.
Well, yeah, they're like, yeah.
I did avoid 28 Days Later mentioning that, too, because it's not...
Not about zombies! I don't know what I'd see my favorite zombie movie is. I mean, the original Dawn of the Dead is... I can still rewatch that movie, and I'm still pretty happy. So, I mean, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
I've seen almost no zombie movies, but I just recently watched World War Z.
That was not good.
I mean, it was okay. I don't really have any comparison because I don't really watch zombie movies, but I enjoyed it.
It was solid. Okay. I liked it.
I mean, I wouldn't say it was bad. I don't know that I'd rewatch it, but I enjoyed it.
So none of you said Shaun of the Dead, so I'm going to go ahead and put that out there.
Which I haven't seen.
And that's a good choice.
And then there's other, like, and that's the counting, because then you got things like Fido and whatnot that are you know, playing on the cliches.
Yeah, I was going to say Shaun of the Dead, because I'm going to get crucified for this, but... I got so upset at zombie culture for working at GameStop. I want a zombie thing.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that out of pure spite, I started hating zombie movies.
That's fair. I tried to do that with bacon, but it's too fucking delicious. But bacon's like...
Zombie movies are not too fucking delicious.
We get it, bacon. We get it, internet. Bacon's delicious. Shut up. And then I eat a piece of bacon. I'm like, oh, it actually really is
delicious. One of the people at my work has like her entire office decorated in bacon. There, she has bacon... Band-aids. She's got a spinner that's like, what time is it? And it's like, eat bacon, make bacon, eat more bacon. Like, everywhere you land on is related to bacon. She has a calendar that's just a month of bacon. She, like, everything in her office is bacon. She's got a pig with bacon wings.
I bet she's a winner
wings.
At parties.
She's actually one of the team leaders. She's got a pig with bacon wings flying and, like, hanging from the ceiling.
And Shaun of the Dead starts off so good as a comedy, and it transitions to pure horror by the end. It's such a good a twist. In that
Those era. Are good when they do that. I haven't seen that one, but...
You haven't seen Shaun of the Dead?
I told you. I think World War Z might be the only time I've ever seen. I don't know what to tell you.
Zap!
Zap!
I mean, I have some problems with World War Z, but it's amazingly still good.
Yeah, it's watchable.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Go.
Andy, have you played around with GW Technical Paints? The Nihilac Oxide does a super sweet corroded bronze, and the rust is good, too.
I haven't touched any of the new style of GW stuff that came out, like the... they have some kind of powder stuff for dry brushing. I haven't done any of that. I I messed around with their washes before this edition, but I haven't touched any of the new ones.
Okay. Zappity.
So, Zappity.
Grumble.
What does Zappity Grumble mean? And where did it come from? And where do babies come from?
We can't answer the first question. So babies come from when
a mommy and daddy love each other very much.
When a mommy and a shark, when they make love, they make Sharko.
But seriously,
it's lightning and thunder. And
it's lightning and thunder.
It's a lightning round.
We were doing a lightning round, and we wanted to do, I don't even remember.
Nathan tried to make a sound effect, and he went zappity really loud. And
we were like, wait, that's not the part that's loud.
Yeah.
And so Andy followed it up with?
With Grumble.
Grumble. And then
a legend was born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need Ken Burns to do a documentary about that and have the music playing and.
No, we don't.
Or Bert talk about dissension in the podcast ranks, and this is what brought us together. So it'd be like a behind the music episode.
Yeah, there you go. Behind the podcast.
Behind the podcast.
That'd be a sad.
It would be very horrible.
Zappity-doo.
Grumble.
Gumbity flu.
What is your? This is kind of meta. What is your favorite board game? Well, go listen to
all of our podcasts.
Our podcast.
Which episode was like number 20 or 30 or something.
Somewhere between 15 and 40. Yeah,
we threw out a bunch.
We should have another board game theme.
We should do another board game theme.
After Gen Con.
Again. After Gen Con would be a really good time to do one.
Yeah. Okay.
We should do like a movie one. We should also talk about like our five favorite movies or something.
Ooh, yeah, that would be good.
Do a couple of those.
I would do that.
Books, maybe. And you could sit that one out.
Immediately after us all going, what? You haven't fucking seen that? I'm forcing Jeremy to watch all of our movies.
Right.
We have to bring the movies with us.
What do you mean, me? Katie has seen no movie ever, and the ones she's seen, she didn't see. At least the ones I've seen, I saw.
Yeah, I sat down.
No, like, because Katie, like, you'll talk about a movie, or she'll, like, sit. We have set up days to watch movies that Katie swears she's never seen, and 10 minutes into the movie, she's like, oh, I remember this. It ends like this. And we're like, oh, well, I'm really glad we set that day up. Like, that's happened.
I've brought movies over there.
I saw.
Yes.
Well,
it's not untrue.
You ain't lying. No, that is definitely true. It is true that the movies you've seen, you saw.
Nothing goes over my head.
My reflexes are too fast.
Zappity.
Crumble. Just me or not enough Thanos?
Not enough Thanos.
Just the perfect amount.
James Gunn had to fight tooth and nail to get any Thanos in the film.
I was going
to
say Thanos had too much presence.
They're saving him for Avengers, I think.
No, he's after Avengers.
Is he after Avengers?
Well, Avengers 3 or something.
Well, yeah, but they're saving it. Like, that's when he's going to get his
right. I think he might even have a few minutes. Well, I'm not sure. He might have another cameo.
I'm sure he'll have at least a cameo. Yeah,
I think he's going to be in the next. Well, he's going to be in the next Guardians.
Yeah.
They could have survived with not having him in this. They could have just mentioned him and had his daughters or whatever, but they really wanted to have him in there a little bit just to establish his presence.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was well done.
But any more probably would have ruined the movie.
Yeah. Or ruined the future movie.
Changed focus too much.
Yeah, it was. I could have.
Because then all of a sudden, instead of Ronan being the villain, Ronan becomes the
sidekick.
He goes from being Sauron to being the Witch King.
Yeah.
And then you feel disappointed that you never saw the final battle of Sauron.
Or more like from Sauron to being.
He'd still be the Witch King. Or you're going Saruman. Whatever. Point is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that
what you... Best digital adaptation of a board or card game?
Clue. Winner.
Blood Bowl.
What? Blood Bowl, yeah. I would say Blood Bowl is...
So you're talking into a video.
That's digital, isn't it?
It is.
All right, I misunderstood the question.
I mean, I was thinking like iPad game. I think the Carcassonne iPad game is brilliant.
Anything by Playdeck. They make the perfect Waterdeep and Agricola and even Ascension. Playdeck just makes perfect transitions. The games are easy to use, interface, anything. Anything by that company.
Twilight Struggle, fingers crossed.
So, they're making Twilight Struggle, so...
And actually, if it wasn't buggy, they did a really good job on the adaptation of XCOM. Whoever did that one.
Adaptation?
I guess it's not.
XCOM is not a board game.
It's not a board game.
It's adaptation of a video game to a video
game. Quiet, you.
But Blood Bowl is the mechanics that happen in the game are exactly the way that you learn how to play the game the board game.
Mm-hmm.
You download the rule book for the board game, you know how to play the video game. Just the interface.
So the truer the better. I mean, it's not none of them is like, oh, well, no, they took Monopoly and turned it into a first person shooter, and it was a really good job. You know, it's
I'm intrigued by your ideas.
Take the board game, make it be the board game on my PC, and I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly.
There, flip side of that, there was a Magic the Gathering like RPG like in the early 90s. I think,
love
on
that
the PC.
Thing.
where you actually, like, you journeyed around, like, almost like Baldur's Gate style, but then the combat was magic card based. And
right, but you really start off with, like, with a substandard deck and less hit points than normal.
Yeah, because you had to level up, and it was...
And you had to find all your cards.
You could permanently spend cards to, like, remove them from your deck to, like, teleport to town and do, like, spells as your guy.
On the DS, one of their games, it's all card-based combat, so you had to, like,
I didn't like that, decks. Though.
Which yeah, one? No, I know. It's,
like, but, that's not a good adaptation. That felt like
Final Fantasy VIII.
No, that was...
At least 8, you knew the rules of the card game. In 9, they didn't even tell you how to play it.
Yeah, one of the rules is you'll figure it out.
Yeah, it was literally, they took the game from 8, they changed it slightly, and then didn't give you any rules. You had to learn the game by playing the game, and so it was just fucking... And to make it worse, different cities in Final Fantasy IX had different rules for the game because they had their own version. You know, they had their own local rules. It's like learning to play poker, and they deal you 5 cards all the time, and then you go someplace else, and they deal you 2, and then put 3 face up, and you're like, what the fuck's happening here?
What is this shit?
Yeah. Crimey.
Zappity?
Gah.
Stu Nami would like to know how he mails a Slurpee.
Very carefully. They have those tubes.
They have the... You should just move to Wisconsin.
The live organ bags with the dry ice.
A Slurpee.
I don't know if I'd trust a Slurpee coming in a live organ bag.
that may or may not be what you were looking for in the first place.
They sell human organ lunchboxes, which are kind of cool.
I'm not sure I'd trust a Slurpee coming out of a human organ.
I think that was the point.
Yeah. All right. Well, you just have to get me 2 of them now.
All right.
There's Slurpee interest.
The juice is running, Stu. The juice is running.
The Jews are running?
The juice.
The juice is loose.
What? When did OJ escape?
Yeah. That was the joke.
Rumble. Favorite bar to drink at Gen Con? Is there another bar besides the Ram at Gen Con? Like, really?
There's a couple.
There are, but the Ram.
Yeah.
It's just gamer
themed. Which place to spend all your money at buying liquid?
I mean, I'm not going to spend much time at a bar at Gen Con just because the people I hang out with, that's not what they're doing. But I'm going to go to the Ram once.
Yeah. You have to go there at least once, get a burger.
The drinks were good. The desserts were good. The food was good. Yeah.
Gave yourself a shirt.
I did not, but I might this year. We'll see.
Grumbel.
At Nate, having German ancestry, what do you think is the most typical German about you? I don't know why typical is in quotes.
I'm a fan of murdering lots of people.
Specifically people groups?
Yeah, people.
Not individual people, but like as a group.
It's very targeted and organized and methodical.
You always march that special way, too.
He likes doing it.
And he really likes taking showers.
Oh, what?
Jeez. It's a little dark. He likes to stay clean.
So
I understand
nice
that.
Yes.
What? He wants to be clean.
Yeah, I don't see the problem. I'm confused.
This, for some reason, doesn't happen at home. At home, I'm a slob, but in my car and at work and every place except in my home, I am very, very methodical. Like, everything has a place and everything's in its place and everything must be done step 1 through step 10. You can't skip step 2 even if it's pointless. That is the order that things are done in. So that's when my German ancestry really comes out.
Yeah.
That and when I'm flying into psychotic berserker rages. But that might also be my Irish ancestry.
It could be a little bit of both.
That seems like bad blood to mix like that.
Yeah. Well, when you think a race that likes to get incredibly drunk and then angrily punch people, it's either the Irish or the Germans. Let's just be a crossbreed of both. Like, it might as well be a fucking Klingon.
Explains the eyebrows.
Those are Romulans.
I know. I was just throwing out.
What explains the nasally voice?
I was just trying to be accurate.
Aww.
Explains your tail. Tails, get it?
Knuckles?
No.
Sonic?
Yeah.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Nathan, seeing as you're getting married soon as well, do you have any groomsmen photo ideas that I can steal?
Nah, I don't have anything inventive. I'm taking 0 pictures of my groomsmen. What I'm going to do, honestly, this is a thing that people should do because, you know, we live in the 21st century, is tell everybody, get a hashtag or a Facebook group or something and tell everybody at the wedding to just submit all their phone pictures to there. Because people are going to be taking pictures on their phones and just say, hey, everybody, just tag those and throw them on this Facebook group. And that's a lot cheaper than spending
$1,000. Well, but then you get, like, the pictures from, like, Brian are all, like, upskirt shots. And...
Right?
So, oh, well, I don't see the problem.
Where's the problem?
Well, he has to live stream it for me to watch.
It costs more to get the actual photographer to do those type of shots, too.
The upskirt shots?
The upskirt shots, okay. Yeah. He charges more for that. And, you know, if you can get it for free, then that's better.
I would say, like, if you get some, if you are getting professional pictures done, have some nice standard ones doing, but get some fun ones taken too. Get some wacky stuff, just because you'll be happy you have them later.
The ones I've seen that people
don't take your wedding too seriously.
The ones I've seen that people put like on Facebook or they get framed and put up are always like the fun ones. Like, yeah. Very rarely, I mean, I guess it depends on the people, the kinds of people that I know.
The nice ones tend to go like to the family.
Yep.
And like friends and everyone else, like, we don't care about that.
Yeah.
What were you having fun with?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So.
Everybody
grumble.
I'm judging one of our listeners right now who lives in a pineapple under the sea. Die in a fire.
I don't
fire.
Know who.
Die in a fire.
It's that squirrel, right?
Yeah, probably. Zappity.
Squirrels!
Oh, Jesus. God, Andy. All of our listeners' eardrums just exploded.
Of all the people to do that. For the
question.
Yeah, it was appropriate for the question. What is the most outrageous example of a
The correct answer was Gary. Gary lives in a pineapple under a sea.
Oh, I thought this was like a biology question. Like what kind of like parasite lives in the pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob's pet snail.
Oh, I even sang it.
Wow.
Okay. Criminy. Go on.
Too much time to that question.
What is the most outrageous example of a non-sport people try and pass off as a sport?
NASCAR.
I'm not going to say.
I'm going to say bowling.
That's nobody tries to pass that off as a sport.
It's on ESPN.
Yeah. It's a fun game to play. It's on the Ocho. Come on.
The Ocho needs to exist.
ESPN ate the Ocho. I wish
fucking
it did.
NASCAR.
I wish it existed.
I love car racing when they actually have to turn different directions and whatnot.
Like IndyCar racing.
IndyCar racing or the whatever. But NASCAR's fucking awful.
Disagree. I don't disagree, but cricket exists.
Cricket is still you're doing
I'm willing
something.
To give cricket more credit than NASCAR.
Yeah. NASCAR is basically you're just running fucking laps. Yes, I understand.
NASCAR
there is...
gave me a great movie, so. Two great movies.
Yeah, it did give two great movies. But it's I understand, yes, it is stressful to be able to, you know, to drive.
Oh,
in
no.
That,
I
in
understand
that
the you can't see the air quotes, but the athletes.
It's pretty than NASCAR. Being difficult doesn't mean it's entertaining.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
But a sport doesn't have to be entertaining.
I know.
If there's
NASCAR
crashes,
sucks.
I'm okay with it.
I'm sorry. Cricket is just... It boggles my mind that there's a quote-unquote sport...
more boring than
that
baseball.
...that lasts for days. Days. Which makes watching baseball look like the highlight of your existence.
No, baseball is much better than...
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to say, like you know, humans not in a vehicle, if you excluded NASCAR, I would agree that cricket is the worst of, the field games. But NASCAR just, fuck you, NASCAR.
Yeah, you can really take that stuff down to the editing. Like, if you
CrippledSystem.com, fuck you, NASCAR.
If you just take that stuff down to the editing, like, how much can you edit out and still have an event? Like, NASCAR is going to be starting line, finish line, done.
Done.
And cricket, there's going to be, like, maybe a couple more cuts.
Hey, that guy passed
in between.
That guy.
That guy
cool.
Totally.
And what makes lap one different than lap 500? Spoiler, not a fucking thing.
Well, there might be stuff on the track.
Oh.
There's a raccoon loose in the track.
When I found out about the limiters on the engine so that they couldn't go too fast, I'm like, what? You have speed limits in a racing sport?
Yep.
Like, the... God, it's so terrible.
The second NASCAR goes to the same dynamic as like Speed Racer, I will watch it.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Who wouldn't? That'd be
Australian
amazing.
Australian rules NASCAR. Yeah, I'd be down.
I
want to
see giant cartoon sized beehives be thrown at other cars. I want that. That would be amazing.
That's illegal.
That's
well,
the
yes,
problem.
But not in the sport of Speed Racer NASCAR. It's perfectly fine under those.
Is that truly
legal there.
Illegal in?
It's illegal.
It's
illegal.
What is?
I think.
I don't know if that is.
Putting things onto the track to interfere with your opponent, I'm sure, is illegal.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could just dump nails out your window.
Yeah.
I would watch it more if that
I
happened.
Would watch that too.
I'm aware. I'm just saying, I'm sure it's illegal.
You have to go through a damn pit stop again. I got to change my tires. Jackass.
Change your tires is nothing. At 500 miles, you have to go wipe him off the windshield.
I don't know, and dropping nails on track is a problem, too, because when you make that second turn, right, the nails are still there.
Yep.
Right? And whoever runs over them, they lose all their focus and can't cast any spells.
They should also have a charity.
That was amazing, by the way.
They should also have a charity person who would have to go out, and he could win, like, $1 million if he's able to go onto the track and clear off all the nails.
I'm just thinking Frogger style. If you can make it from one side of the track to the other at any point during the race.
Oh, that'd be amazing, too.
Alternate victory condition.
Yeah. We could cross it with the running man. We just make prisoners do that.
Oh, jeez.
Death Race 2000.
Yeah.
Stallone's best film.
Yeah. It's an awesome new board game.
It's happening.
Rumble. And our final question of the day. Butcher 2 theme list. Legit or quit?
Fuck it.
Crump blew me up for playing it, and here you guys think it's pretty competitive. I know it has bad matchups, but I think it has its place in a 2 or 3 list pair. Thoughts? Well...
Is that the Reaver spam?
No, yeah, that's the Doom Reaver spam. Yeah. Spoiler alert, it's fucking good. Your guys are immune to spells. A lot of good lists are boring.
It's bad matchup is if you go against some list that has a million ranged infantry that have good rat.
They don't even have a good rat. They're death 13.
Yeah. You have to be at least rat 6 to hit them half the time.
Not if you're aiming.
And some fearlessness. Need some fearlessness.
If you have fearless guys that shoot, you probably just win the game.
If you're aiming and shooting speed 6 reach guys, you're not aiming and shooting speed 6 reach guys. I mean, you're not.
They've got an engagement range of 14.
Yeah, that's fair. So, but if you have the ability to shoot lots of shots, what I'm saying is they don't have to be even that high quality shots. Like things that are good against Cricks are still decent at shooting down Doom Reavers.
But you only got to kill their front line.
Yeah, you just have to kill the front guys.
If you kill 20 of the 36 Doom Reavers, the other 16 wipe out your army.
Not from far enough away that.
Well, it depends on the scenario, then. If the scenario's live.
Yes.
Yes.
It's an amazing list, and its only bad matchup is lots and lots of guns.
Lots and lots of guns in a non-live scenario.
Yeah, because even then you have problems. Because it stops incorporeal, it stops spellcasting, it's got Berserk, it's got high power, it's got a lot. Mm-hmm. And its caster assassination potential is terrifying.
Mm-hmm. It's got great infantry removal, it's going to crush high armor, it answers almost every question.
Yeah. It doesn't have... It has two faults. Pathfinder and lots of guns.
Yeah.
That's it. And yeah, it's a great list. I don't want you to play it, but it's really good.
Yep. Zabity.
Grumble. Recommendations.
That's it.
Recommendations.
I recommend Parks and Rec. Starting to watch it. It's amazing. I'm done.
Previously on CrippledSystem.com podcast show place things, I had recommended Ogre because it is a great game that I very much enjoy. And at the time, I mentioned that they were eventually going to come out with Ogre Pocket Edition. And guess what they came out with last week? Ogre Pocket Edition.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that was too difficult. See, the thing is,
I recommend Ogre Pocket Edition. I stole it.
It is $2.95 at your friendly local game store. Three goddamned dollars. Buy 5 or 10 copies and give them away. It's the. It's not only the full original game of Ogre, but it has many, many extra pieces. It's got tons of pieces for two different factions, as well as Mark III and Mark V Ogres. It is $3 for a shit ton of stuff. Buy it. If you don't buy at least one, it's cheaper than a fucking coffee at Starbucks. Buy Ogre Pocket Edition. Throw it in your Hordes bag, and you can play it between rounds at events and whatnot. It's three goddamn dollars. $2 online.
$3 damn.
$2.95. And if it sells out the first run, they said if the first run sells out, they're going to release a pocket edition of GEV, which was the follow-up, more complex game that Ogre spawned. So do that so I can get pocket edition GEV.
Yeah.
I recommend you ask somebody else because I didn't think about this.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, yeah, there we go. I recommend that because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy was amazing. Several times I've recommended a show that I enjoy, and I'm not saying that it's the height of television, and people have belittled me for recommending
Pretty Little
shows.
Liars or no, I'm not Sex of the City.
I'm not recommending either of them. Although, perhaps not significantly better. It's an enjoyable show. It's a sci-fi theme, which I really enjoy, and it has... Not boobies per se, but it has some attractive young women in it. It's called The 100, and it's on the CW. And if you need to know more about the show than that, feel free to go look it up. On Hulu.
I'm pretty sure it got renewed for season 2.
It did. It did already get picked up for season 2. It started a little bit slow, but I'm enjoying it a lot. They have the first 5 episodes available on Hulu, and the rest are available on this website you've probably never heard of called Pirate Bay. I'm sure if you get like Hulu Plus or like Hulu Plus or Amazon Prime or something like that.
I'd say there's places it's available without breaking the law.
Yeah, there are.
Okay.
But at any rate, you can check out the first 5 on Hulu for free until like the second season starts and just see if you like it. It's enjoyable. It's fun. I recommend it.
As long as we're recommending sci-fi shows for teenage girls, the newest season of Lost Girl is on Netflix.
I don't know that that's targeted at teenage girls.
That's targeted for teenage boys.
There's a difference.
Good point.
But yeah, it's fun. So that's my recommendation. The 100.
Your turn, Jeff.
I recommend Guardians of the Galaxy.
Awesome.
Damn it. I recommend.
I recommend finishing that sentence.
Things.
Why is grabbing my phone going to help you? I don't know. I
was
desperate.
He was going to find out the last time your Google search wasn't recommend that. Well,
no. No. That is never
listen,
the answer.
Somebody asked where babies come from, so it ties in.
I don't think
Donkey Punch?
I don't think technically a baby can't come from.
Wait, I don't think babies come from her butt.
There was a
ties.
I read an article and I looked into this, and this wasn't bullshit. There was a woman who got pregnant due to oral sex.
Does she know what those words mean?
She went down on a guy, finished. That guy's wife or girlfriend or whatever came in. Some knifing happened, and due to the placement of the knife wounds, the oral sex causer, who by the way still had an intact hymen because this is as far as she had gone, became pregnant. Because knife go in, get semen on it, knife come in out, knife go in lower, get semen into her, knife come out. So it was a pregnant version because she blew a guy and got stabbed twice.
That was a terrible story.
Nathan,
it's an interesting story. It's scientifically unique.
That is true.
I recommend
going back and not listening to that story.
To get 30 seconds of your life back. Yeah, that's my new recommendation.
Fuck you.
That's science rape.
What is science rape?